This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Well, good morning and welcome to In Focus. Good to have you with us, everybody. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to talk about a museum you probably never heard of, but probably should, and it may be coming to a location near you. The GHQ Military Museum is looking for help, and we're here to talk about it. Robert Dymock is with us. It's his baby, his brainchild. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about the GHQ Museum. This is an idea. I don't know that I've ever heard of a mobile museum like this. I've heard of the traveling wall and all that sort of thing. Explain the whole premise behind it.
Right. Mobile museums are quite rare. When everybody says a museum, everybody thinks of a brick and mortar static type museum.
Sure.
In my case, I wanted to bring our military history to different locations, and I did some research way back in 2016 when I was still working in my regular career. And I thought, well, I can't do a brick and mortar, the cost involved and such.
Oh, yeah.
So I found that there were a few mobile museums out there with different topics. So I thought, well, why not do a military museum? And I did some research into it, found out that it's fairly easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, I incorporated.
Cool. And I see you've got logo shirts and everything available. Let's go back to the beginning. You came up with this idea. You were not living here. You were up in Chicago, right?
Right. I was still working. I spent 28 years with the Sheriff's Department just outside of Chicago.
Okay.
And being in a metropolitan city, I started looking to see where there were military exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
For a large city like that, you would think there would be museums all over the place. Well, there's not.
I know you've got the big U-boat in front of the, what is that, the
Field Museum?
Field Museum, yeah.
There's the Navy Museum at Great Lakes, and then there's one other dedicated museum for the Army's 1st Infantry Division. But other than that, that's really it. Some historical societies would have some exhibits, but nothing else. So I thought, well, we got to change this. You know, I mean, we've got such a huge population in and out of the city there. We have to bring this history and our heritage to those who want to see it. So that's how I kind of got the brainchild to do that.
So where do you start with something like that? I mean, you've got a lovely collection here, and people can go to your website. It's GHQ, Military Preservation Group and Museum. But where do you start? Were you a collector already?
You know, I had stuff, some stuff in my collection. I'm a veteran. I served in two branches of the military. So it was a matter of...
Which two, just out of curiosity?
I started in the Navy and I left in the Army.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting switch.
Right. Well, it was kind of to honor both of my grandparents. One of my grandparents was in the Navy in World War II in the Pacific. General MacArthur was on his PT boat.
He
was
a PT boat. Okay. All right.
And my other grandfather on the other family side was in tank destroyers in Europe, served in Europe during World War II.
Oh, okay.
But with that, I started contacting fellow guys that I served with and seeing who wanted to help out and what it entailed, and started just making cold calls and contacting other museums, other organizations, and seeing if anybody had anything they would like to donate.
And what kind of response did you get?
It was pretty good. You know, a lot of people out there, they want their family members to be remembered. And they would gladly donate collections. Some of them are, you know, so incredible. I can't believe people would entrust their family members to our museum. I mean, everything from the time they served, all their uniforms, all their documents, pictures, photo albums, wedding pictures. I have some collections that are so complete, it's incredible. And some of them are so rare. Army WAC collections, which is the female branch of the Army during World War II. Just, it was amazing that, you know, the
response. Which was headed up by a woman from Houston, Ovita Culpeppy. She was head of the Women's Army Corps.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Named by Roosevelt, yeah.
Yes. And then other people, they would be downsizing. They had family members' items or sometimes their own items, and they didn't know what to do with. They didn't want to throw it out. They didn't know where to donate it. So this was a good outlet for them to see that their family's history is remembered and it doesn't wind up in the landfill.
And it makes sense because there's so much memorabilia. I mean, I've got some of my dad was in the Army. I've got some of his. But it just sits in a drawer. at the house, and that is kind of a shame. It's a symbol of service, yeah.
Right, and that's what a lot of people would tell me, that their dad passed, their grandfather passed, and some other family members either didn't want it or they didn't know what to do with it, but they couldn't bear just throwing it out. So they were glad to see it get displayed, and we'll take that item, especially when we have living family members to help, and we'll build a collection if it's detailed enough. We'll do a biography on that person from the day they were born to the day they passed, what they did in the military, what they did in their civilian life, and that way the people get to learn about those that wore the uniform. They just don't see the uniform. They learn about the person that wore it.
Well, and it's true, and I mentioned Houston. I mean, I'm from there, and as you say, big city, fourth largest in the country, right behind Chicago. But you have to go to Galveston to see Submariner Destroyer. Now the battleship Texas is going to be docked there. They just refurbished that. But as far as a pure military museum, there was an air museum down there wrecked by the hurricane. That's about it. Other than planes and ships, you don't get the full picture.
That is the one thing, is that the mobile museum is nice because we bring the exhibits to the public, whereas they would have to travel to these museums. And one thing I've discovered being in Texas is that when somebody says it's just down the road, that means it's down the road 4 hours from here. It's just not down the road. Sometimes it's cost prohibitive. Schools, retirement communities, you know, they can't afford the field trips to send their people to these museums. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we can bring some of that history to them.
But to do that, and we'll come back to some of the details about the exhibits, but to do that, you're going to need the equipment, the vehicles, and that's been a problem.
It has a little bit. I did have a nice enclosed trailer when we were up north. Unfortunately, it was not able to make the trip down here, and we've been trying to raise the funds ever since to raise a new enclosed trailer to transport the exhibits, and it's been very slow. The truck I have is 10 years old. It's now reached that high mileage label on it.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those.
But, you know, we still keep trucking along. I still do small displays with everything I can fit into the truck. I'm still promoting, trying to get the trailer. Mm-hmm. It slows us down, but it doesn't stop us.
Yeah. And this is, again, folks, if you go to the website and you see the photos, this is the kind of gear and you name it, uniforms, all of it, that could be brought to a school, as you say, could to a retirement home, could be brought to a lodge, a social group, whatever, for display. Things you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. I've had displays. My displays have been seen at national cemeteries, other museums. I've been to NASCAR, retirement communities, veterans homes, schools, churches. Just about anybody that requests it, you know, we'll try and get out there within a reasonable distance, of course.
Yeah. So what is it you need? You need another enclosed trailer, obviously.
Yes, that's our critical right now is, and you know, it's been tough. I've tried enclosed trailer dealerships. I've even got a GoFundMe out there that's at 13% of its goal.
Okay.
And it's not a big trailer. It's just a 16x7x7 foot tandem trailer that we used before, and that'll get us back up and running. It's just been, you know, trying to raise the funds for that.
Yeah. Is the GoFundMe the primary vehicle? I know you tried the Giving Tuesday, didn't get much in the way of response there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we tried that East Texas Giving Day. Last year, we got a little bit. We didn't get, you know, enough. This year, we didn't get anything. The GoFundMe is easy. You just have to look under just Mobile Military Museum. Mm-hmm. It's going to pop up. You'll see a picture of some panels in an army tent, and you know, and that's our primary at this point.
Again, I would refer you all to the website, because you're going to see this, all of the collection that Bob has, and it's pretty incredible. You know, for a one man effort, this is an incredible collection of gear.
Yes, absolutely. I, you know, without the public support, this it would never happen. You know, I, as a retiree now, you know, I can't afford to go out and spend tons of money buying these exhibits and sure, buying these things. Without the public's support and donating items as well as the funds, we would be down another museum.
And plus, you have to keep them, you know, in good shape. You have to preserve them. Some of these things look like they're pretty old.
We cover World War I through the Gulf Wars, which is my time. You know, that's the easiest to obtain at this point, and there's so much of that history we want to get out there, the family members.
I was in the Middle East covering the Gulf War, so
okay.
We were there at the same time in different capacities. So.
Right.
Is that when you were in the Navy? Or?
That was my first deployment right after 9/11. I wound up going with joined Task Force 160, and we did detainee operations for the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second deployment was on the Army side, and that was 04-05. That was before I got out.
And you deployed in the Gulf again there?
No, I was supposed to. I stayed stateside, and while I was training up for deployment, I had an injury that put me out.
Okay.
So they told me, stay, go through all the treatment, and ship out with another unit, or, you know, you've done your time, you've got your time in, and
sure.
The wife said, time to call it.
Get a real job. There you go. Again, it is an incredible collection. What is the result when you... You have obviously taken it around when you were up north and so forth. What is the reaction when you go to, say, a school or whatever?
Well, it's actually very good. I have not had, out of all of the people that have seen it, I've never had any negative experiences. People have actually been surprised because they expected just a couple folding tables full of stuff that somebody throws out there.
Yeah.
You know, our displays have information explained with them. We do short histories of the conflicts so people can read about a short history of what World War I was about, what Vietnam was about. They get to read the biographies, the different other items that we have. So there's a lot of information we can pass out. And I've seen grade school children sit on the floor and read everything. I've seen them take pictures of everything. We're sometimes people say history's dead. You know, it's really not. It's a matter of if you bring the history to them, they're really interested and they learn. And that's the challenge, is if you can get the history to the folks out there, they remember it. They want to learn more about it. They want to know about their families, the times that they served. So it's been very, very rewarding.
Well, and I'm a history nut, I'll tell you, but it makes a difference, particularly for a young person. If it's one thing to read it in a book, it's one thing to look at a picture, and it's another thing to walk over and be in the presence of an Air Force uniform, a Navy uniform, a Marine uniform, and some of the gear that goes with it, and information and medals and all the rest of it. You even have Rosie the Riveter. I noticed in one of the displays.
Yep. And then some of our stuff we actually make where it's a little interactive. The old field phones that, you know, with the wire,
you have to crank them, ring them,
and the flak jackets so they can feel the weight of those, the helmets that the kids can try on. So if you make it a little more interactive for them, they learn even better, because it's not, like you said, it's not looking at something on a computer screen. They're actually looking at the actual item and actually getting to feel what that was like.
Yeah. It makes all the difference in the world. I know that, again, back in Houston, where I spent, I got to know a lot of folks with the Commemorative Air Force because there's a big air show there every year. And looking at the kids when they can actually walk up and touch a P-47, touch a Corsair, touch a B-17, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's been very, very interesting. It's been a little frustrating at times when I try to raise funds and, you know, nothing comes through. You know, it's a challenge sometimes, even for me to sit back and wonder if it's worth it. But then you go to an event and you see the results of that from the veterans, Vietnam veterans for one, you know, who didn't have a good time when they came home. You know, who got to see these, you know, their stuff is now on display. Read about their history. I've had some very interesting stories with Vietnam vets that have come up to exhibits. One guy in his little scooter who came up and slapped his hand on the top of an RM60 machine gun because he was a gunner in Vietnam and just went on and on with stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was done, took his hand off and just went on about his business. Never told us who he was, you know. But he had to come see that because he hadn't seen it since he served.
Yeah. Well, you even have not really technically a Jeep. It's the Mutt. You have an M151 vehicle.
Right. Before I started the museum, I actually found it's a 1966 made by Ford. It replaced the Willys. It was made for the military in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I bought it from a veteran, and it was a wreck. And I took 2 years, and I restored it to mint condition, and that goes out on parades, static displays, car shows, and that's another interesting piece of equipment because it has canvas. So I've had Vietnam guys where I've seen them put their heads in there, and that smell takes them back. And I've seen them come out, and their eyes are as big as plates.
Yeah. Look up the Mud. It was an interesting vehicle. It had a checkered career. But you don't see them anymore. I know they weren't generally sold to civilians after their service.
Right. They were quite dangerous because of their suspension.
They rolled over a lot.
Right. So they got to where they wouldn't sell them surplus. They just crushed them.
Yeah. Seeing one in the metal is actually pretty rare these days. And it looks like you've made an effort to represent all the branches.
Yes. I cover everything. The only thing I haven't covered is Space Force, and I'm a little short on Coast Guard. There's not a lot of those donations out there, but I try to represent
It's a smaller branch, yeah, obviously.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But, I try to cover all of them as detailed as I can and get a good representation for everybody. Some of the projects we're working on is those big cabinets, like you will see if you go on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building five of those. Each one is going to represent World War I through the Gulf, and they're going to have memorabilia in it and historical information, and they're going to be offered to any organization, any place that wants them. I'm not going to charge anybody for that.
Mm-hmm.
School wants it. If it's a car dealership, I don't care. I want to get the history out there and let people see this. And also it does a little advertising for the museum and let people know we're here, because this history is being thrown into garbage every single day.
Yeah.
I have a garbage guy, collector up north. He's found so far a World War II dress hat in mint condition on a can.
Wow.
Letters written by a soldier in 1969 in Vietnam to his family that people have thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lady find a footlocker at a dumpster by a pizza place. Inside of it was all the World War II Marine Corps memorabilia of a veteran who was at Guadalcanal. Somebody had thrown it at the dumpster for it to go into garbage. So we want to save that history, because every day we know it's going into garbage. And a lot of people don't know about resources to donate it. You know, they think big museums don't want it. It's not important. You know, they only have a few of their dad's medals or a couple patches. It don't matter. Full collection, couple items, we're interested.
Yeah. And ironically, as we do this interview, it is the day after VE Day. The 80th anniversary, and a lot of the guys, all the men and women who served we're losing them. Yeah, just like their gear, their memorabilia.
Right. Five more years, try and find a World War II guy that's still with us. We have one in the whole county, in Wood County, one World War II guy we're aware of. He lives in our community. I just did his birthday party in January. He is a Marine Corps veteran of Iwo Jima and Saipan.
Wow.
And knew Lee Marvin, the actor, served with Lee Marvin. So he's our last World War II veteran in the county that we're aware of. You know, these folks aren't going to be around much longer.
Yeah, I was listening to the celebration in London yesterday on the radio, on the BBC. They interviewed a 104-year-old. He's the oldest surviving member of the RAF. He flew mosquitoes in the mosquito bombers in the war. You forget. It's hard to remember how old they're getting at this point. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So these memories are particularly, and the people who can tell you about these memories, we're losing them. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, Korea. Our Korean guys they're only 5 years after World War II.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, our Vietnam guys. I think we're down to about half now that are still with us. You know, hard to believe how long ago Vietnam actually happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. I look in the mirror every day and I can see it. That's my youth. So we need to find a way to keep this going. And that's your goal, obviously. I mean, you put so much into this. I'm a little surprised the community hasn't. Maybe they just don't know about it. Maybe that's part of the problem.
I think that's some of it. Even in my own community, I bump into people that say, never knew you were out here. Well, we've been out here for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big challenge, is getting the word out. I try every which way I can to let folks know we're out here. Volunteers always help. We're an all-volunteer group. I do the lion's share. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer, but I do have other people that help. And we're always looking for more. People that could build things, carpenters that can help build displays, people that can do maybe has an embroidering machine and can help do shirts. You name it. If you think you can help, we're interested in hearing from you. You don't have to have just military background or military items. There's many other functions to the museum that keep it going.
Well, and you also on the website you can see the gear, the things you're looking for. What are you trying to find? What are you a little short of? I didn't see in the picture a lot of the weapons from the various eras.
Yes, that is very hard to obtain. It used to be fairly easier, but...
And they used to be cheaper, too.
Yeah, right.
Surplus, yeah.
Right. The main thing I want people to understand is that, I concentrate on our U.S. Armed Forces history.
Yeah.
I want folks to know about that. Even though I'm a military museum now, other stuff, Germany, Japan, Iraqi stuff, we will take that because we don't want to see it go to waste. But we're not really displaying that per se. We want people to learn about our armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's weapons, if you got American weapons, World War II era, Vietnam, we're definitely interested because that's stuff that we just cannot afford to obtain out of, what little bit of budget we have to work with.
You got an old M1, you got an old Springfield 03 from World War I, 45, you name it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
What do you have? You mentioned the M60. What do you have now? It's fairly sparse right now.
It is. I have a M16, a replica M16 from Vietnam. I have an M60. I have a World War II 45. I have a 03 Springfield.
Oh, you have that already. Okay.
I got that at a garage sale for $125 many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But no M1s, no M1 carbines, no nothing like that. Even the bayonets. We're very short on those. I have like an M1 bayonet and M16.
I think there are replicas out there that you can probably get, but
right.
Yeah.
But
you can only buy so many.
And our budget can only do so much, so I have to regulate what projects we're working on to complete things. Like, for instance, the East Texas Giving Day, to raise funds for that project, the purpose was to do a women in the military display. When we go to a retirement community, our research has shown that a lot of the residents, over 50% are female.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to bring a bunch of guy stuff. To a retirement community where there's a lot of females. So I want to have a really nice display of the women in the military to represent that. And so we relegate what we can do with our budget to fill some of our projects.
Yeah. And looking at the stuff you're looking for, you're looking for uniforms, whether, as you say, dress or combat.
Especially combat.
Yeah. So you look like you have a pretty good collection here, but you can always use more. Patches, pins, medals, awards. Yeah, that would be a fantastic display. I'm sure you have plenty right now.
Right. I'm working on trying to display every medal that we have as a country has been issued. Of course, the big three are very, very hard to get, the Medal of Honors. It's a very tough thing for even me as a museum to obtain.
Oh, sure.
But everything else, is obtainable.
Yeah, Silver Star, that sort of thing.
Right.
Those are pretty tough to get, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're out there. It's just a matter of money.
Any field equipment, gear, that sort of thing?
Sure.
Probably everything from canteens to...
Field radios, field uniforms, combat uniforms from Vietnam, World War II, field packs, the belts. If you have anything, definitely give us a call. We're interested.
And this is interesting because I my sister and I were talking about this. She lives in another state. But when my folks were going to make a big move, we were going through some of the family memorabilia. We found my dad's letters to my mom when he was in the Army. And it's fascinating to read them, The movies, you got to go see this movie. They showed it on the base, and it's that sort of thing. And you're looking for those as well, correspondence.
Sure. I have boxes of letters, and some families have categorized every letter that, their family member has written. You know, we have a lot of them on display, and the public loves reading them. They love reading those, you know, the sweetheart letters back and forth, and the old telegrams, the old Western Union telegrams. So yeah, that's also big. Photo albums are very big, of you know memorabilia photo albums that they took when they were overseas, tour books, you know, things like that.
I ran across my grandparents' old ration books. When my mom was growing up, how many tires you could get, how much sugar, et cetera, et cetera.
How many points?
Yeah, because everything was rationed.
Yeah. Even after the war, sugar was still rationed until I believe 1947.
Really?
Yeah.
That long?
Yeah.
It's an incredible project, and it's all right here in East Texas, folks. So if people want to help, what can they do? Here's a chance to make the pitch.
The best thing is if you're interested in helping, you can check out the website for information on what we're looking for. And even if it's something that's not there, you know, just get a hold of me. Contact me by email, by phone. And to say, hey, I'd like to help. This is you know, what I have. You know, it wasn't on your list, but are you interested in it? Or, you know, we do this. You know, maybe we're an embroidery company, or we do this, or we can do sewing on the side and repair uniforms. Or maybe you're a dry cleaner, you know, and you'd like to help out and maybe help dry clean some of these uniforms, because very rarely do we get anything that's in pristine mint condition ready for display.
That's the nature of the beast right there, yeah. Well, and as you say, it isn't just schools or military retirement homes or whatever. If you have a business, what could be a greater crowd pleaser than this mobile display, you know, for a grand opening or a big sale or whatever, a holiday, that sort of thing.
Right, and of course, you know, our big military holidays are in big demand for us, so the sooner we hear from people, the more we can try and schedule things. Now, of course, without the big trailer, it limits us somewhat, but we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, and that ultimately can help you get the big trailer, because obviously the biggest donation you need is money, is funds.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate nature of being a nonprofit. That's the monster, the biggest monster of that is that you rely on donations from the public or corporate. I mean, I've tried our local leaders. I've tried state politicians. I've tried big corporations. Not a peep. And, you know, it's, you know, some of them say that, you know, they love what you're doing, but, you know, we donate to Tunnels for Towers and stuff, which are great organizations. But the small guys, we're the ones that are always struggling. We lost a lot of our museums during COVID, believe it or not, because of the lockdowns.
Sure.
We probably lost 20%. And they were all your local community museums, the small guys that don't have the cash reserves.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if it's not me, maybe you have a historical group that's nearby, you know, or a local museum, Bladewater, you know, Mineola, you know, just, you know, offer them the history if you don't want to do it to me, but let's keep the history going and the heritage going.
Well, indeed. Or some underwriting would be useful. There are foundations in this neck of the woods. A lot of great car dealerships might want to help you out with a vehicle or a trailer, that sort of thing.
Right.
If you can hear this and you can help and this matters to you, and it should, need to get in touch with Bob.
And don't forget, you know, I mean, I do have that mutt. Car dealerships welcome to display it, you know, if they're willing to help out. Now, of course, it is a Ford. You know, I mean,
well,
so I mean, you know, and they may
just
be
call
specific.
It the M151, and they'll never know,
right?
Most people look at it and say it's a Jeep. Yeah,
yeah, and then they do. They mistake it for a Willys, but that's okay.
Again, give them the web address.
It's ghqmilitarymuseum.com. We're also on Facebook under the same. And also you can look at our video on YouTube. We have a short video from a couple years ago.
Check it out and help them get this stuff out there so everybody can see it. Bob Dymick, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Man,
appreciate it.
It's good to see you. And thank you, guys. We will be back next week. If you want to hear this after it airs, it'll be on our website at ktbb.com. And we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.